Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life. To align your life with your dreams, check out my self-paced coaching program that also gives one-on-one coaching support. For just $47 per month, cancel anytime. You can find the link in the description. Welcome back. This week on the podcast, we are talking to Michelle LeBlanc, who is a money mindset coach, and she talks all about the limiting beliefs that hold us back from finding our success when it comes to money. Being able to break through our money beliefs in both the subconscious mind and in our past lives. Tune in to find out the difference between the subconscious and past lives, our energy, and how you can release your limiting beliefs around money so you can call in more.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And my name is Michelle LeBlanc. I'm a coach and healer. I created Money Magnet Formula, and I'm also the founder of Align, Heal, Thrive Academy, which is a membership community.
Amazing. So what do you do inside your programs, and what do you teach?
Well, Money Magnet Formula is basically a roadmap or a formula or a blueprint for how to leverage the law of attraction for attracting money. You know, a lot of what's taught out there only works if you don't have any money blocks. So we get in there and we identify and clear the money blocks. And then the Align, Heal, Thrive Academy is like an adjunct to the Money Magnet Formula program. It's a membership community and for like-minded individuals. And I teach a lot more than just money manifestation, but it's a way to have ongoing support after you finish the 8-week program of Money Magnet Formula.
Amazing. So for our listeners, what is your take on the law of attraction? If you were to explain that simply in case anybody just stumbled across this and they're like, I've never heard of that before.
Well, basically the simple definition is it's a law that everything in the universe is energy, and like basically attracts like. So you have to be in the energy of money and abundance to attract money in abundance. And what hinders us is these blocks we have, which is in our, you know, running the show. It keeps us at our money max set point. But simply, it's just like attracts like. And if you had no money blocks, you could manifest like that. But all of us have some blocks.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what do you find with your clients or your members that are the most common money blocks that we have? And if you could maybe expand on them a little bit, that would be, I think, very helpful for our listeners.
Well, a lot of us have something to the effect of, and it varies from person to person, but either like wanting money is bad, or wealthy people are greedy, or it's not right to want more if I have enough to meet my needs. Or here's a big one, especially in the spiritual community, is you can't be both spiritual and wealthy. You have to be one or the other. It's almost like that vow of poverty thing, that to be spiritual is to be, you know, just getting by and struggling. You know, the typical ones like, you know, money is hard. Money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work hard for what you get. There are just so many out there. I've got like one of my worksheets in the program has like, I don't know, 200 or more of these blocks, these statements. And you go and you rapid fire and rate yourself how bad this triggers you or how much you think it's the truth, to kind of just like uncover it. And there's so many. And yeah. And all of these, you know, blocks, a lot of them were formed when we were children before the age of seven, you know, when we're just little sponges, just absorbing everything. And we don't have the capacity to discern what's truth or not. We just download everything as the truth. So if, you know, your caregivers, your teachers, your parents, the TV, just what was around you, if you got the message that, you know, making money is really hard, or, you know, wealthy people are evil or greedy or bad, or they're just out for themselves, you know, that's what you've downloaded. And that's running in the background. It's that program.
Yeah. And you don't even know that it's there. You just, it just shows up in ways where you don't move forward, or you're like, why can't I make this money? Or every time I get money, it goes away, and like this big expense comes out of nowhere. And so what would you say is the difference between subconscious money blocks and past life money blocks? Because I think I love talking about past life stuff. And for me, I've said this before on the podcast, but I really never used to, not that I didn't believe in past lives, I was just kind of like, it was indifferent to me. I was like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. Until I started doing the subconscious work. And then so many of my root causes for me were back into past lives. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm blown away. It's definitely 100% true. Like once you experience it and it takes you there, you're like, how can it not be true? So in your experience, what do you think the differences are, and like how we carry them differently, and how do they show up today, or do they show up differently?
Well, they can be the same. They can be different. You know, obviously subconscious money blocks are those that were formed in this lifetime, and they're in the subconscious mind, and past life blocks were formed in former lives. But they affect us in exactly the same way. They're both like that program running in the background constantly. You know, like if you had outdated software and programs on your computer, they're going to limit what you can do. They're going to slow you down, or they're going to inhibit, you know, what you're trying to do. And even though their roots are different, you know, one in this lifetime, one in past lives, they act exactly the same way, and they can show up the same way. And I've had some clients where their past life and their subconscious blocks were similar. And I've had some where, you know, the past life stuff was completely different than the subconscious stuff. It just varies from person to person.
Yeah, for sure. And so when we are looking to kind of release these blocks, specifically, how do you normally guide your clients through being able to actually go in and release these?
The subconscious stuff, I do a lot of EFT and emotional release, energetic emotional release. And those are probably the two biggest tools I use for the subconscious stuff. And then the past life stuff, it's all energetics. I tap into the Akashic records. I channel the Akashic records. I teach my students how to access their own Akashic records. And then we do healing with just energy work, cutting the cord and contract, collapsing the particular record. And if there's any forgiveness that needs to be done, we do energetic forgiveness, call the person or people forward. And it's a lot of energy work for the past life stuff.
Amazing. And can you explain for anybody listening what the records are, in case that, again, is the first time they're hearing it and they're like, the what?
Yeah, the Akashic records are basically, like, I describe them as an energetic library of everything that happened to you in all of your past lives that you registered as important or traumatic or emotional, or, you know, like for instance, you know, you and I having this conversation, that's probably not going to show up in either of our records unless something traumatic happens while we're doing it. But, you know, the things that really affect you deeply, that you just, you know, you have an emotional charge or a trigger or a trauma, or you're just utterly super happy, just something big that registers and it's stored in your records.
Amazing. That's such a good description of that. And it's funny because Doing like the subconscious work that I also do, it's very similar. I think we're probably trained in the same things. You know, I've always wondered, like, is it all subconscious? Like, do we carry our energetics within our subconscious mind? Are they the same? Are they different? And it's something I always wonder, because sometimes when you're doing the work, you're like, did I make that up? And it's like, because you go like, oh, how did I know that? Like, maybe I just made that up. Or if you're experiencing the techniques for the first time, you like don't trust yourself or your answers that you're getting, because you could be, of course, making it up. And I've always like to say to my clients, like, does it matter? Like, even if you made it up and it's like not exactly what happened, if it helps you move forward and release the belief, like, can you just be open-minded enough to just trust that you're getting the information that you need in order to release and move forward? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree with that. You know, even if you're not exactly right on the record or the past life or the actual subconscious belief, if it helps you move forward, that's perfect. But in my experience, you asked, you know, you talked a little bit about, do you wonder where the, you know, it's stored, if it's in the subconscious mind or somewhere else. I've experienced that these different records, the court and the contracts, can be stored in different parts of the body. So, you know, I proxy with my clients and I can actually feel it where it is. And we, you know, go through a series of things to pull it out, cut the cord.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's really interesting as well. So do you think there's like some somatics involved in that as well, where it's like physically, you could feel that in your body, like as a pain or something? Like, you would never know that it's a record, but that's like what's actually like the trauma that's like causing physical pain. Yeah. And it sounds like EFT will be helpful for that in that sense too, where it's like, okay, I can feel it in this spot. It's like, yes, there's like traditional EFT, but sometimes it's good to just like tap or move your body wherever it's like feeling stuck, right? My husband said to me the other day, he had some like work news going on, and he was like, I feel like I just have this like tightness in my chest. And first of all, he said, my back's really sore. And I was like, that's because you are dealing with these emotions. And he like kind of looks at me, right? Because he doesn't believe in any of this. So I'm like, that's fine. You do you. And so I'm like, no, like, your back is hurting because you have all this emotion coming up right now. And so long story short, my husband has been diagnosed with PTSD. And so he's in the Navy, and after he came home from the deployment, he was not himself, and I knew that he wouldn't be. And so he got help for that. And while he was waiting for help, he was put on this course for firefighting, like literally fighting fire. And he had to pull a bunch of like weighted bags, which are like no joke, because they're like the size of the weight of like a large man. And he injured his back during this course. Okay. So he literally manifested that because he didn't want to be there, and he wanted, like, he was not in his right mind anyways. Like, he was in the highest point of his PTSD that he's ever been in, just not getting help yet. So he has this back injury, and, you know, so now he has these two injuries, and his back has been like feeling okay. But then, so he gets emotionally triggered, and now his back hurts again. And I was like, it's your emotions. Like, it's your back is hurting because he didn't do anything physically where he was like, well, my back hurts because of this. And I was like, it's your emotion. And then he's like, well, I just like, now I feel this like tightness in my chest. I'm like, yeah, it's anxiety. Like, it's, that's where anxiety typically is like, if you feel in your body, from my experience and with my clients, it's in your chest and it just feels like heavy. And that's what he explained it. And I was like, how can you not believe, like, you're experiencing this? Like, how do you not believe it? Like, it's blows my mind. Like, just listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Emotions definitely get stored in our bodies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have like any experience with somatics in that sense where, you know, you're taking energetically and releasing that through your healing and the cord cutting? Do you find that that also releases the physical pain as well?
Oh, yeah. If there are any emotions attached, we always remove the emotions first. And I've got a series of little exercises where, you know, we feel where it is in the body and we, you know, pull it out. And sometimes it helps people to like, oh, it's in my chest, and actually just like pulling a rope or pulling a ribbon, you know, just like you're physically, like you're pulling it out. And that that sometimes helps the clients even more if they could like move their hands as if they were removing it.
I love that. I do that sometimes too. Have you read the book? I think it's by David E. Hawkins, I think it's called Letting Go. And it's all about like turning your emotions into like a physical shape and giving it a color so that you can see it like in your mind. And then you can take that and you can be like, okay, this feeling is like a blue square. And you can like literally just close your eyes and picture taking it out. Like, okay, I'm releasing the blue square out into the world and it's not part of me anymore. Which I think is a really good concept for something people can just do themselves, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, removing your own emotions is very simple. It's as simple as imagining, feeling where it is in your body. And, you know, like you said, you can imagine it a color, a shape. You know, with kids, I like to, you know, have them pretend it's a big balloon coming out and then they like puncture it and it flies up into confetti. You know, there's just so many different, whatever works for you. You can imagine them like your body is a pot of water and the emotion is sitting in the boiling water and it turns to steam. You know, there are just numerous ways that you can imagine it and remove it.
Yeah, I love that. And because everybody's going to see things differently. And that's another thing is everybody questions like, am I doing it right? Am I doing these techniques the right way? And it's like, whatever works for you, there's no right or wrong. If you see it and it works and it like, that's how it works for you. Or like, if you go back in your timeline and you're like, am I going the right direction? I can't tell you that because you're the only person who knows the way that your mind works. And it's going to be different for everybody. So just like, trust yourself in these techniques and in this. And that's the coolest thing about energetics, like energy in general, is that it's, you can literally do anything. You can, right now I could say, I'm going to put this protection bubble around me and okay, I just did it. I just put a flame of, you know, white around me and now I'm protected and my energy is so great. And that's literally all you need to do to change your energy for something is say, I'm going to change my energy. I'm going to have a great day today. And you do, right? Like it's so simple. And so many of us like don't take advantage of how easy it is to manipulate the energy in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Our words and our intentions are so powerful. So powerful.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could guide us through like a cord cutting exercise, because I know that a lot of people could benefit from cord cutting, but maybe they don't really understand how to do that. So say you're having like an experience with somebody and maybe it triggered you and you felt like you just keep thinking about it. You know, somebody honked their horn at you when you were driving and it really bothered you because you're like, I was right. Like, how do you separate yourself from that situation? Just like easily and quickly, like while you're driving, you can be like, you know what? No, I need to let this go. Like, I don't want to dwell on that. Like, what can they do themselves to kind of like cut that energetic cord?
Well, specifically cord cutting is something I do when I channel the Akashic records and collapse the record. But what I would do in the situation where they're frustrated because, you know, somebody cut them off in traffic or whatever, I would do EFT. I would just have them, you know, start tapping on all of the points and literally just rant about it. You know, what are they feeling? You know, why is this making me mad? What triggered me about it? Why am I still pissed about it? What happened yesterday that I didn't just, you know, displacing my anger on this and tap. To me, if you're ever going to have a rant or speak negatively, tapping is the best time to do that because you're getting it out, you're expressing your emotion, but you're simultaneously calming your nervous system and decreasing your cortisol. So it's a two-prong effect.
Yeah. And then you can go back in and tap in. Like once you're feeling better, you're like, okay, I'm calm, I'm good, I'm going to have a great day and tap in those good positive feelings afterwards also. So it's like, again, that double-edged
measure, you know, how triggered you are in the beginning, you know, once it gets down to like a two or below, that's when I start adding in the positive stuff, you know, because your mind is more receptive to it. You know, when you're angry and you're stressed and your cortisol level is through the roof and your nervous system is fried because you're so angry, you know, positive affirmations are not going to register at all.
You're like, yeah, great.
So, you know, bring it all down, calm yourself. And then when you introduce those affirmations, they're more likely to take.
Yeah, I love that. It's funny because I do EFT. Typically, I do it more for like manifesting than for doing the reprogramming. And I've just found like that works better for me. But once we were talking about the imagining how you do things, I like heard on a podcast a long time ago, but way before I was in the subconscious realm, and they were using like a cord cutting exercise where essentially you just imagined it, right? So you imagine this cord, energetic cord of you and like the event that you are experiencing, and then just simply cutting that cord. And so is that kind of what you do with the records, or is that like completely different?
And it's more just different.
Yeah.
Different.
Okay, cool.
Well, I guess there are similarities because we are, you know, cutting the cord between you and the event or you and the person, but it's different than other ways I've heard cord cutting. You know, a lot of people in the pagan communities and Wiccan communities use cord cuttings, and there's some candle magic that you can use cord cuttings. And it's similar but different. It's difficult to explain.
Yeah, no, I get you. It's like any of those techniques are, right?
Yeah. So it's more energetic, and it's the other person is participating, and I'm having them call forward the people involved and the place involved and the, you know, the situations, and we're removing emotions and collapsing the record. It's kind of all done simultaneously.
Amazing.
So there are a lot of things going on.
Cool. And so you do all that within your program. So your program is like a one-on-one program that you work, or is it all kind of just a self-paced? And then
I have both. I have a group program where everything's done in a group setting. And I also do the same program with one-on-one if somebody opts to go the VIP route and do just one-on-one with me. They still have access. They still have access to the community and all of the group sessions and the group Q&As and the group practice stuff and the group healing. But in addition to that, they have the one-on-one with me.
Amazing. So I was just going to say, so to clarify, so this is your money program, is the group program, and then you also have a membership, and that membership is similar, or it kind of like plays off of the money program?
It plays off the money program. Basically, if you purchase the group program or the VIP program, you get the Align, Heal, Thrive Academy with it, and you have it for life. If you decide to just join the Academy, you get Money Magnet Formula Group Program as a bonus. So I did that because, you know, obviously some people are trying to manifest money and they don't have a lot of extra money to spend. So I wanted to give somebody an option to just pay a month to month. And then, you know, obviously if they cancel the membership, they lose everything, including the bonus Money Magnet Program. But, you know, they can like do it a month or two, manifest the money and then purchase it, or they can just get what they need and cancel. I just wanted to have a lower end option for somebody who's, you know, wants to learn, wants to manifest, but just doesn't have the expendable funds to do it. And then it gives everybody that ongoing community and support. For those who actually purchase the program, they get the Academy for life if they purchase the program.
Amazing. Yeah, that's so great. And I think it's so true, is that so many people are like, I want to manifest money, but I don't want to pay because I can't pay. So how do I like do this? I actually had someone say that to me once, because I have like a little money magnet challenge, and it's $97. Like, it's nothing crazy. It's lifetime access to that. And I had told this person about it, and she was like, I want to make money, not spend it. Like, okay, well, I've put all this together with all the training that I've paid for to learn how to do these things. So like, I'm going to charge money for what I teach. But I didn't say all that to her. I just thought it in my head. I was like, okay, no problem. Whatever.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realize that in order to manifest money and step out of your current situation, you have to step through a threshold. And often the price of the course, the investment for the course or the program or whatever, is that threshold that you must step through so that you must become the person who is, you know, who is that person in the future who has manifested that money. You have to step through that threshold. And since money is energy, that energetic exchange of you paying, you know, a coach or a teacher or a healer or whoever, that's part of the process.
Yes, 100%. Because when you think about it from like the future working backwards, if you're like, okay, I'm asking myself, this person who's manifested all this money, like, how did she do it? Did she learn it all on her own? Did she like spend all kinds of time, source, like scouring the internet trying to learn this? Maybe she did. But a lot of the stuff that is actually going to help you, you know, things that are free are like, that this is what you should do, and the things that you pay for, this is how, like, I'm actually going to do these techniques with you. So yes, you can go read my blog, you can listen to my podcast, you can, you know, watch my YouTube videos and learn all of the things that you need to do. And I can go on and on about all the great ways to do it. But if you want to actually go through the process of doing it, well, then that's when you join my memberships or work one-on-one. And that is the difference. Like, how do you get to that version of you? Like, not talking even like manifesting. If you say, okay, I'm going to, how did I save the $10,000 that I want to save? Well, I started saving money, right? If you never start saving money, you're never going to get to that $10,000 that you want to save. Like, you have to start and push yourself forward into that, the actions of your future self.
Yeah, you always have to ask the question, what do I need to do, or who do I need to be today to be the person that I see myself down that trajectory that of my future self, you know? And, you know, it's probably not sitting on the couch watching Netflix. It's, you know, doing something in your business, or, you know, exercising or eating healthy food, or, you know, just depending on what you're trying to do or who you're trying to be. But, you know, it's rarely just, you know, mindlessly watching Netflix or scrolling through social media for hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even, like I said, scouring the internet. You know, a lot of times we think that, oh, because I'm researching this or I'm doing that, I'm taking action. But you're not taking action. Like, you can make a plan. You can spend a whole week making a plan. And that's great if you're going to take the action in the plan. But so many of us spend all this time thinking we're taking action, making the plan to do the thing, instead of just doing the thing, instead of just showing up and being like, okay, I'm going to post something today. Instead of like making a plan of the content that I want to post, I'm actually just going to post something, right? And so I think that's like so important, that, and where people often get stuck, because they go, well, I took all this action and then I didn't see any results. Well, did you really take action, or did you make a plan to take action? Because there's a difference there.
Yeah. I mean, you could watch educational, you know, documentaries, you can watch educational YouTubes, you can watch, you know, all this free content, but you have to embody the content. You have to, you know, take action from what the content says. You can't just watch the content and take notes. It's only going to get you so far. That just gives you the what or the why. It doesn't give you the how, and it doesn't give you the action.
Mindset is everything, but let's face it, very few people actually have the tools to make lasting change. Enter the Highest Self Academy. We use neuroscience to dive deep into the subconscious mind, helping you to let go of the limiting beliefs holding you back and to rewire your mind for success. The best part? It's only $47 a month, with the flexibility to cancel anytime, and you get a 7-day money-back guarantee. Oh, and here's an exclusive offer just for our podcast listeners. Find the link in the show notes to get $10 off your membership each month. So what are you waiting for? Dive in and start your journey to a better you today. Yeah. And I loved what you said earlier about, you know, what do I need to do today to show up as that future version of myself? Like, you don't need to get so far ahead of yourself. Be like, what are all the things that I need to do? Like, just today, what can I do that will make a difference tomorrow and the next day, and build momentum? Because we tend to see this big goal or see this version of ourselves and think of all the things that we need to do, think of all the days it's going to take to get to that goal, or all the money that we're going to have to take. It's like, just take one step today. What's today can you do? And then tomorrow, when you get there, what today can I do? And also basing that, like, how you feel each day, you know? Maybe you're having a day where you're just like, I don't really feel like doing a whole lot. Okay, so what are some, like, lower energy things that you can still do that are productive, but maybe don't require you to, like, spend the whole day doing all the things?
Yeah, those are great days for self-care, because we need self-care as well. You know, maybe you don't feel like, you know, posting on social media or creating content or, you know, getting my stuff together for my taxes or whatever it is I need to do today. Then, okay, how about some self-care? I'll go for a walk. I'll go for a hike. I'll do some yoga. I'll meditate. I'll, you know, do some EFT on myself. I'll, you know, do some emotional release. I'll go to the gym. I'll, you know, fix a healthy meal. There's so many things that you can still embody of your future self that don't seem like they're business or money related, but you need self-care as well. So that's always a good time for self-care when you're not in a super productive mood.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, because it is so important. And there's, when we're thinking of that future version of ourselves, like, she didn't get there by just hustling all the time, because she'd be burned out if that was the case. So yes, there is that, like, full-bodied approach where, yeah, it's not just business. And it doesn't even have to be productive to be productive, if that makes sense, right? Like, it doesn't have to feel productive, because even in that sense, like, maybe your choice is like, I'm really not feeling great today. I need time to actually sit down and rest. So maybe today I do sit down and binge some Netflix, knowing that that's what my body needs right now. I need to lay on the couch and, like, not move, because I need to rest and let my body have the energy to recuperate. Doesn't mean I'm going to choose that every day. It's paying attention to what I need in the moment, so that tomorrow I can ask myself again, hey, I'm feeling a little bit better today. You know, maybe still not quite there, but, like, I think I can get up and make myself a nice meal. I think I can go do some tapping. I think I can do, like, whatever it is, where you're a little bit ahead of where you were the day before.
Yeah. And sometimes that's sometimes when you get your biggest intuitive nudges and your intuitive messages. It's often when I'm in the shower or, you know, mindlessly sitting, you know, maybe I'm watching something funny or, you know, just kind of like not something that requires a lot of thought. And then I'll just get a download. Ooh, I need to do such and such, because you're not thinking. You're just, you know, you're just letting your mind wander. So, yeah, between asking your subconscious mind, asking the universe, and asking your intuition, if you ask the right questions, you'll always get the answers, you know?
Yes. I just got to have the space to hear them.
Yeah. And when you get those answers and you get those nudges and you get that intuition, you got to follow it. Because if you don't, why would the universe and why would your intuition and why would your subconscious mind send you more messages if you're not going to listen?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because, like, that's one thing I think happens. They're like, okay, well, you don't want that, fine. And then there's the other way where it's like, it just, you get bombarded. There's like, you need to do this, you need to learn this, like, and if you don't do it, I'm gonna, like, throw you off course. I have a client who started a business after getting into a car accident, and she's like, I had thought about starting a business for so long, and I just, like, ignored it. I brushed it off. And she's like, once that happened, I was like, okay, I'm going to start my business. Like, life's too short. I'm going to do it. And I said to her, the universe literally smacked you and was like, wake up. Like, this is meant for you. This is your path. Like, how many times do I have to tell you before you take action? Wake up, right? And so I think it's really important that we listen to our things and to make note of it too. Like, when I get my downloads, I, like, write them down. I have an app on my phone, which I call my second brain, if you've heard of that concept. And I just write everything down, my thoughts, so that I can go back in later at another time when I'm, like, ready to kind of dive into it a little deeper. And then I don't forget about it, because that happens too.
Yeah. Write it down. I have to do the same thing to tap it out on my phone. You know, I have little notes specifically for my downloads and my inspirations, my intuition, or, you know, if I'm at my desk, I've got a little notebook that I can physically write it down. But yeah, definitely. And you're right about the universe. and your intuition, you'll get these nudges, you'll get these, what's the right step, what's the next right step, and so on. Or if you don't listen, like you said, the universe will give you the exact opposite. Just throw you under the bus and knock you down a peg or two for you to really listen. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so crazy how that happens. Like, of all the things, like thinking like experiences in my life where I'm like, oh, I didn't do that. Or like things that you're like not paying attention to. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, like you could probably, anybody who's listening could probably use this example in like their finances, you know, like, you know that you have to like get on top of them, but you keep putting them off. And then all of a sudden you get hit with like that big expense where it's like, oh, hey, wake up. You need to actually go and action this now and like be aware and be in awareness of that. And, you know, act like a grown up instead of trying to ignore it. And then I won't have to like smack you the next time. Like, you'll just be on top of it. You'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, once you get in the habit of just listening and, you know, what's that next right step? What's that next right step? What's the next thing I need to do? And you just keep following it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious if you yourself have any like common themes that you tend to go back to when you do your past life, like healing, because I do, but I'm curious if you like, when you do it, if it takes you back to a past life, is it a common thing, a common scenario, or do you always do like different past lives and stuff?
A lot of my clients have a lot of them have vows of poverty. A lot of them have like lived lives where they chose money over their family or their children or their spouse or someone they loved and, you know, realized, oh, crap. And then they, you know, made this agreement with themselves. Oh, I'll never let that happen again. I'll never be wealthy again. And guess what? That's why you're not wealthy now. You know, a lot of vows of poverty, a lot of watching others, you know, do those things. Like, it may not have happened to you, but you might have seen someone you love choose money over their loved one, and you're like registered in that past life, oh, I'll never be like that. I don't want to be wealthy because I don't want to have the choice to choose money over someone I love. So a lot of that.
Yeah. For me, I often go back to the past life. I was a healer, and I was like I see, the way I see it is there's like a piece of like land, and there's like this big lake, and on top of the hill there's a castle. And so I was a healer in a village, probably like pagan, and everything was taken from us. Like, all of our money was taken. So we had this little village, you know. I was told that I couldn't be like a healer, I couldn't help people in that capacity. And so obviously I was like, money is bad. What you just said too is like, I'll never be like that. And so in doing these techniques, so this is the neural energetic encoding techniques. You go back into your timeline to find the root cause. And the lesson that my subconscious wanted me to learn was just that money is neutral. Like, money is not good or bad. People are good or bad in the way that they show up. Like, money makes you, somebody said this on one of our last podcasts, money makes you more of who you truly are. Like, more money doesn't make you better or worse. It makes you more of who you actually are on the inside. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
So if you're an inherently good person, more money makes you better because you get to do more with your money, more good things, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you're already a generous, kind person, the more money you have, the more you're going to do generous and kind things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the opposite of that.
Yeah.
If you're not.
Yeah. If you're self-centered and greedy and don't care about other people, then yeah, you know, you'll probably, you know, not use your money for good.
Yeah. Those are the people who run all the like big health pharma companies. And so, yeah, I think it's just so interesting. And yeah, my experiences going back to that and just taking these learnings and being like, okay, you know, whether that's true or not, because I mean, I believe it, I always go back to like similar events, but it doesn't matter because I can come out of those with being like, okay, yeah, actually, it's not money. Money's Money is just a tool. Money is not bad or good, or, you know, it's an energy. It's a tool that we use, and it's what, how we perceive it, that it gets its energy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Money is absolutely neutral, and it's just energy, just like anything else. It's the meaning we assign to it that gives it, you know, whatever its power or its whatever. But yeah, it's supposed to be an ebb and flow. It's supposed to be, you know, money coming in and money going out. You have to spend in order to receive, and you need to receive in order to spend. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so valuable for everybody to listen to. If that's like one thing, is that money needs to go both ways. Like, you can't just hoard it, and obviously you can't spend it if you're not receiving it, because then you would not have any money. And so just being open to receive as well. Like, I'm like open to receive money at any time, and not closing yourself off from that. But again, those are like our subconscious beliefs.
Yeah, and it spills over, you know. I often say, you know, when you work on one area of your life, it spills over into other areas. So again, there, if you want to receive the energy of money, you have to be open to receive. But that's just not with abundance. That's being open to receive compliments, love, gifts, you know, anything. Just open to receive. Just be open, an open heart. And, you know, that translates in all areas of your body. I mean, of your life.
Yeah. It's so funny, because that's like, my husband hates receiving things. Like, he doesn't want anybody's help. I mean, there's some inner child stuff there, but he doesn't want anybody's help. And I'm like, I'll take any help. If anybody offers me help, like, I will take it. If anybody's like, oh, here's a gift, I'll be like, yeah, sure, thanks. Like, that's great. Like, I have no, I have no guilt or shame over that, where a lot of people do, who have a problem with receiving things. And I'm like, any help you want to give, I will take, always. And so I always tell him that too. And I've told him the concept of, like, if you see a penny, pick it up, because you're telling the universe, thank you for this penny. I want more money to come. If you say, like, I'm not picking up that penny, or like, why would I want that penny? Then the universe goes, oh, okay, you don't want more money, then I won't give you any more money.
Yeah. And often when people start, you know, trying to manifest more money, they'll see little things like a penny or a nickel or a quarter, or, you know, a dollar in, you know, the jacket pocket that you didn't wear since last year. And, you know, those are little signs that the money is coming. You have to see that as the money, you know, the money's coming, it's mine. And you have to be grateful for that penny. You have to be grateful for that nickel, and that dollar, anything, any amount of money you get, you have to be grateful for. And you'll also, before the money actually manifests in your life, it's often in the form of, like, opportunities and people. You know, like, I had a client a while back who, you know, was starting her online business, and, you know, she was trying to manifest. And then she would get these opportunities to do things like we're doing now, you know, be a guest on a podcast, or speak on an online summit, or teach a workshop at a local, you know, shop, or, you know, do something at a local festival. And she wasn't doing it. I'm like, you're blocking your own abundance, you know. This is part of how the abundance comes. You know, you are, you know, putting yourself out there. And, you know, if you're not going to, like, put yourself out there and be willing to be seen as the expert in your area, how do you think you're going to get clients? You know, it's that first stepping stone. It's often the opportunities, or someone you know, the opportunity to meet someone who might introduce you to someone else, or know someone who needs your services. You know, when these things start dropping in your lap, you have to say yes. You have to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think it's really interesting too, because it's like, there's that energetic component, which you just talked about. And then there's also the component of, like, action is required. You don't just manifest by thinking something. Like, yes, everybody thinks, like, oh, the law of attraction, people who don't know manifestation, I should say, think the law of attraction is like, oh, just think about it and then it will come to me because I thought about it and, you know, whatever, and now it's going to come. And it's like, that's not how it works at all. And you have to actually take action. When you want to manifest something and you put that out to the universe, that's when you're going to start to hear the downloads and get the inspired action that you need to take. But you are still required to take those things, like take the steps. And as we talked about earlier, not just planning it, but taking it. And so when you hear that download, and you go, and it's okay to sit with it for a minute and be like, okay, how am I gonna do this? Or it's even okay to be like, I don't know if that's the path I want to go down. Like, let me like check and make sure that's in alignment. And if it's not, if you're truly like, if you kind of had an idea and then you're like, oh, wait, maybe I actually don't want to do that because, you know, X, Y, Z, like that's okay to say to the universe, no, that's actually not the path I want to go down. What I'm looking for is this. And that's why being very clear about what you want when you're manifesting is really important, so that you can say, okay, I got this, you know, download, but like, I actually think that's not the way I want to like my business to be or whatever. So maybe, universe, can we go in like this direction instead? And then you're just like tweaking your path. And I think that's okay too. And important to be very clear and in that awareness of where you are and where you want to be. Yeah, that was a thought there. So
yeah, I definitely agree. And sometimes even when you're presented with the thing or you get the download or whatever, even if it's not exactly what you want, there's often a little kernel of truth or a little kernel of wisdom that you can pull out and take that on and say, okay, the rest is not for me, but I'm going to pull that out.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what I was going to say too, is, you know, sometimes when you get that action, like your first response might be, no, that's not what I want to do. And so it's really important to ask yourself, is this not the right path for me or the right action because I genuinely don't think it's going to take me where I want to go, or because I'm afraid to show up, or because, you know, there's some sort of limiting belief that's making me feel like that's too much for me. And if that's the case, then you need to go in and obviously do some subconscious work to release that belief, to identify what the belief is in the first place. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's genuinely not the right thing. And
yeah, exactly. You can't make people do things they're not ready to do. All you can do is give them the information and let them decide. But, you know, you raise a really good point about if your first instinct is, no, that's not right for me, is it truly that's not right for you? You have to really be honest with yourself. Is it not right for me because I'm scared? Is it my ego telling me that it's not going to work? Is it my limiting beliefs and my subconscious and my past life traumas telling me it's not going to work? Or is it truly not what I want because I'm not aligned with that thing, you know? So you have to be honest with yourself. Or, you know, if not talking to a coach or a teacher, you know, bounce it off your best friend, you know, help me work through this. Help me figure out, is this really not right for me, or am I just self-sabotaging? Because often it's self-sabotage.
Yeah, I would say more times than not, it is self-sabotage. And I think you only get to say, no, that's not right for where I want to go, when you are already healed from a lot of limiting beliefs. Not that we're ever like fully healed, I don't believe, but you know, you've already done a lot of the work. You already know how to sit in awareness and go, okay, I know exactly where I want to go. I know where I am right now. I kind of have an idea of how I'm going to get there. Always open to the way the universe does things, because we can't be in control of how something works out. All we can do is be open to following our intuition and our guides, but being aware enough to be like, it's not, or to ask myself like, yeah, is it, why don't I want to do this? Like, am I afraid to show up? Maybe it's like video. Do I not want people to see me? Am I afraid of talking on camera? Do I think people are going to laugh at me? Do I think it's too much work? Or am I just like, you know what? I actually just don't, maybe I do think it's a lot of work where I can better serve myself by like starting a podcast. Oh, okay. You know what? I can share the same information on a podcast, and maybe I don't have to prep for videos all the time. You know, I have a little girl at home. Do I want to do YouTube videos all the time? It's really hard, because you have to get ready to do the YouTube video. You have to set it up to film it. You have to, like, there's a specific way to edit YouTube videos. So I started a YouTube channel, like as this example, and I will keep it there and I might throw some videos up, but it's not my priority. My priority is the podcast because I'm really good at talking and it's easy to talk because nobody sees me. And I can record podcasts on my own. I can set up interviews. Like at any time I can do that. And it's a lot easier to record a podcast that I can hit pause on while I'm recording. If my daughter decides she's going to come in the room, like I can do that while she's home. And this editing software has enough AI that it takes out every background noise. So she couldn't even tell she's in the house. And so there's ways of doing things for right now. It's again, just being in that awareness of like what is actually working and like what doesn't really work. And also trying things. Like it's okay to try and then be like, no, I don't actually want to go in that direction, and to pivot. Like pivoting is so important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And your example was exactly the whole thing of getting the download and that's not right for me, but I'm going to take this kernel of truth and do it. So maybe you got the download, I'm going to do this YouTube channel, but no, that's too much work. I don't want to be on video. So I'll pivot and make it right for me and I'll still put myself out there. It'll just be audio.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Or I'll start smaller and maybe I'll do like longer reels because you can do that now. And that's apparently the thing is talking to your, it's going to be the next trend is like videos where you actually teach something talking to it, which I'm actually looking forward to because other reels take so much more editing than just talking to the camera.
Yeah. And it's just fascinating, all of this stuff. I love talking about all of this stuff.
I know, me too. It's always like, it's such a high vibrational conversation when you can talk with like-minded people and like you get it. And then not only that, but we're recording our conversation so people get to hear it and be in that vibration and learn from it and take something from it. And hopefully like they feel the energy that we have in this conversation and they get to just absorb that and take it on their day as well. And I think that for me is like why podcasts are like my thing right now. It's my priority. It's just like being able to literally transmute that energy and the teachings and the education through voice. It's crazy.
Yeah. Just putting good out into the world.
Absolutely. In any way that you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, again, you know, everything's energy. You know, we're not necessarily spending money and giving to charities or whatever right now, but we're giving of our time and our energy to put out good into the world. So it's the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. And that is such a good point is, you know, you don't have to be a certain level of, you know, authority or finance or whatever it is that you think you need to be at a certain version of yourself before you can do XYZ. Like you can just start being that person. You can just start by giving, like putting stuff out there. You know, maybe you're not like the expert authority yet, but you can establish authority by putting out there what you know and spreading good and teaching and educating and helping people see a different perspective to what you teach versus like the norm of our society.
Yeah. And as far as being the quote expert, you only have to be a few steps above, you know, who's listening to you. So if you've gone through this thing or you've experienced this thing, you've learned from this thing and you figured out how to solve the thing you were in, all you have to do is speak from your own experience. You know, what did you figure out? What worked for you? And, you know, then you'll be able to help everybody who is at step one. You might be at step four or five. You may not be at 10 yet. But as long as you're a few steps ahead, you can help everybody at that beginning stage. So being the expert is kind of relative. You know, there'll always be somebody with more expertise than you on any given topic. But there's always going to be people with not quite as much expertise and experience as you. And those are the people you can help.
Yeah. And it's so true because they don't necessarily want to learn from somebody who's a 10 because they're missing that in-between step. You know, somebody who is a 10, an expert level, often, you know, comes from that place. And it's really hard to forget where you started when you're at level 10. And so the person who's at level 5 is like, no, I know exactly where you are because I was there not too long ago. Where the person at 10 is like, yeah, I remember being there, but like, it's hard to speak to that version of yourself because it's been so long since you've been that version, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I spent, gosh, I don't know how many years, probably 30 years trying to figure out law of attraction for money. You know, I could manifest almost anything else, but I couldn't make it work for money. And when I would manifest money, like you said earlier in our conversation, let's say I manifested $500. Well, you know, it wouldn't be long before a $500 expense showed up, or, you know, a bill I forgot about for about $500, or something would happen to my car. Something would happen that whatever I just brought in goes right back out. So I was like, why can't I figure this out? I kept banging my head against the wall and, you know, reading all the books, watching all the documentaries, you know, using all the tools, you know, the candles, the oils, the crystals, the everything. Couldn't figure it out. And it wasn't until I went through my last energy healing modality that I did in 2021. Part of it was learning how to get into the Akashic Records. And then at the end of it, when I had to do my practicums and have clients before I could get certified in it, I was attracting kind of the same clients with, you know, different types of blocks. And at the same time, I was at the very beginning stages of starting my business, and I was struggling with my own fears and blocks around, what if I'm not good enough? What if people don't like me? What if, you know, I'm not sure if I want to be seen? You know, I don't know if I have the confidence to be the expert on the thing, you know, what, you know, all these things. So I was doing the healing tools on myself. I was attracting similar clients. And one day, you know, it just kind of all clicked. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been missing. You know, after seeing so many people with subconscious limiting beliefs and money blocks and past life stuff, it just kind of all clicked. And it was like, oh my gosh, I got to outline this, and then I got to test it. And then it started working. So, you know, then Money Magnet Formula was born. But yeah, you know, it wasn't that, not that long ago, I was struggling too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, that just reminded me of my story. I've shared it on the podcast before, so if people are listening, they may have heard it, but I manifested a couple hundred thousand, which is what we bought our house with. So, I mean, obviously that money was gone, but in a good way. But then I manifested another $13,000, and then a couple, maybe a month later, maybe not even a couple months later, the CRA, so the Canada Revenue Agency, for anybody who's not in Canada, it's like our tax company, whatever you call them, not a company, but bureau, told me I owed a bunch of money. They didn't actually tell me. They just took all my money from my account. And on the same day, my car started smoking. I dropped my daughter off at school thinking, okay, I have to go to the bank because I opened up my account and I have zero money. Like, they took it out of every single account. And I was like, I got to go to the bank. And on the way home, my car started smoking out the back. And I was like, and that was a $4,000 bill to fix. So on top of all my money being taken away from me, I also had to pay $4,000 for my car. And I was like, it was tough. Like, I'm literally still catching up from that, because in the money that they had taken, I'm also a wedding florist. I had my money saved up for, not saved up, but like put aside for my clients' flowers. So when my clients pay me their final payments, I take what I know I'm going to need for flowers and put that in a separate account. So that when it's time to pay for the flowers, the money is there. I'm not like scrambling for it. Obviously, that would be a terrible way to do business. And they took all of that. So everything that I had coming in for the rest of the summer, through my online programs, through my flowers, went to fix my car and to pay for the flowers that I was making up on top of that. And like, I'm literally just catching up from that now, because it was brutal. A brutal summer. And then you go into not wedding season, which is, you know, the large chunks of money that I'm making. And I was crazy, craziness.
Yep.
Yeah.
So again, there, you know what it's like. You know how it feels. You can speak from experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, immediately, like, I went in and released a whole bunch of money blocks. I just recorded my own audio, and then I would just go and listen to them. And I'm like, okay, I did, like, trust with money. Money always disappears. wasn't really money. It's hard for me. That was never really one of my things. I've had done scarcity in the past, because that was like the first one that everybody thinks of with money. But for me, it was like, yeah, money always disappears. Like, as soon as you get it, it disappears. So knock on wood, money hasn't disappeared since I've got it. Like, I'm not being funny, universe. Like, don't jinx me here. It's staying. Every money, like the money that I get is staying, okay? Declaring that.
Yes, I like to say, I love money and money loves me.
Yes, I do that too. I tap that in all the time too. Yeah. All right. This has been such a great conversation. I really loved chatting with you and exploring manifestation and money wounds. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we leave? And also, if you can let people know where to find you.
You can find me, probably just my website's probably the quickest way to get all the links and all the social media stuff. It's healwithmichelle.com. So Michelle with two L's.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you're feeling a bit lost in the world of manifestation, that's okay. We've all been there. But guess what? Your breakthrough is just a click away. Introducing the Neural Energetic Manifestation Blueprint, your foolproof step-by-step roadmap to manifesting your dream. Designed for those new to manifestation or those who are feeling stuck, this blueprint is packed with neuroscience-backed strategies, journals, workbooks, and bonus tools to kickstart your journey to abundance. Don't let uncertainty hold you back. Take the first step for just $7 and start manifesting your best life today. Find the link in the show description.